Why hast thou forsaken me? Chapter 87. Slowly the hours pass. The sun rises higher and higher. The mocking and laughing of the rulers and the people continue. But suddenly the hum of the voices is hushed. It becomes very quiet. Why? Did something happen? Yes, indeed. Something really did happen. Something miraculous. Something out of the ordinary. Meanwhile, noontime has come. The sun is shining in its full brilliance. The hill of Golgotha basks in this bright sunlight. The Bible tells us it was the sixth hour. In our time, it would be 12 o'clock noon. And then, suddenly, it becomes dark. The sun does not go down. No, that cannot be, for it is only 12 o'clock. The sun is at its highest peak. How is it that it became dark? For a time, God takes away the light of the sun. It is as if the sun no longer will shine upon this terrible scene. It becomes completely dark, dark as night. This darkness not only exists in the immediate vicinity of Jerusalem or in the land of Canaan, but God's word tells us this darkness came over all the earth. This alarming darkness lasted 3 hours. Is it any wonder the mocking ceased? You can be sure the hearts of the people pounded. As a rule, when something dreadful happens, the greatest mockers become the most fearful. The mocking mouths are silenced, and often cold perspiration sparkles upon the foreheads. Are there any of those mockers among you? If there are, I have a dreadful message for you if you do not stop it. God shall mock with holy mocking when the day comes in which you shall be cast into eternal damnation. Read Psalm 2, verse 4. Oh, how fearful the Jewish rulers and the Jewish people must have been. Probably they were afraid it never would be light again. This darkness is an image of the eternal darkness, which shall prevail in the place of torment as the consequence of sin. The suffering of the Lord Jesus is made heavier by these 3 hours of darkness. The Savior hangs there completely deserted. The soul suffering with which the Lord wrestled during these 3 hours cannot be told. There are not enough words to describe it. The wrath of God against sin burned by renewal in the pure soul of the Lord Jesus. I repeat, Jesus was guiltless, but the sins of his people were laid upon him. God punished the sins of his elect in his Son. Oh, how dreadful this was! Jesus was forsaken by his heavenly Father. With this came the onslaughts of the Prince of Darkness. Also here the Lord Jesus suffered the terror of hell in his soul. Finally, the suffering of the Savior reaches such heights. He plaintively cries out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." In our language it is, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It is most fitting for us to discuss this portion with fear and reverence. The depth of this painful suffering cannot be fathomed. And then to think he voluntarily took all this suffering upon himself to save hell-worthy sinners from eternal damnation is beyond our understanding. But boys and girls, think about the place of damnation. Eternal darkness shall reign in hell. The wrath of God shall burn to all eternity in the souls of all those who go lost. I am not writing this to give you a good fright, but to make you think more about the seriousness of this life. Do not seek your delight in this world. Do not live to have fun and pleasure. Rather, bend your knees and plead constantly for the Lord to be gracious to you. Ask if he will give you a new heart. The door of grace still stands open. Probably tomorrow it will not. As soon as the Lord Jesus had cried these words, which are his fourth upon the cross, the light returns and the sun shines in its full radiance. Most likely a sigh of relief arose from the hearts of the many spectators. They all look again at the prophet from Nazareth who is hanging there. Everything has its usual appearance. The soul strife of the Savior is ended. The prince of darkness had to depart. But now that the suffering of the soul is gone, he feels the suffering of his body so much the more. A burning thirst torments him. Hearken! Suddenly these words resound from his mouth. I thirst. One of the Roman soldiers who hears this jumps up and gets a sponge. He soaks this sponge in a vessel of vinegar. What kind of liquid was this vinegar? Some say it was a sort of sour wine. Others say it was ordinary vinegar mixed with water. If it were wine, it was bad wine, the most inexpensive. The sponge is dipped in this vinegar. The rough Roman soldier pushes the sponge into the end of a reed, and in this way brings it to the dry lips of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus sucks a little of this vinegar. Why does he do this? He does this in order to fulfill every prophecy which had been foretold about him. David had prophesied that in his thirst they would give him vinegar to drink, Psalm 69. This prophecy is being fulfilled here. Oh, the Lord Jesus did not atone for sin partly, but completely. But even this is not granted to the Savior, for listen to what the others say. He calleth Elias. Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. They say this mockingly. How can it be possible that they again begin to mock? Didn't the 3 hours of darkness leave any impression upon them? Have they so quickly forgotten it? Yes, children, alas, they have. What an evil group of people, aren't they? You are much better than they, aren't you? Do you think so? If in the summer a very bad thunder shower comes, what then? Yes, you are afraid. You fold your hands and pray, asking the Lord to preserve you. But the shower scarcely is past before you have forgotten all about it. Sometimes you mockingly laugh and poke fun at your little brother or sister who crept near your father or mother and who burst into crying. Alas, that happens so often. The least impression of the majesty of God does not remain with you. It even happens you are ashamed of yourself because you were afraid during the heavy storm. Do you see that you are no better? By nature, we all have a wicked, depraved heart. We forget the callings and warnings of the Lord, or we do not concern ourselves with them. Upon Golgotha's height, mocking again is renewed. They mock with the Savior's words, spoken in his greatest soul's agony. Besides, It was not true what they said. Jesus does not call Elias. He cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. If the Son of God desired to be delivered, he did not need Elias. He is the Almighty God. He could have delivered himself. As soon as the Savior had taken the vinegar, he cries with a loud voice, which resounds over all Golgotha, so that everyone can hear and understand it. It is finished. It is as if the Lord says, the purpose for which I came upon the earth is accomplished. I have done everything which I had to do. It is finished. Now he has borne the wrath of God against sin. Not one thing is lacking thereto. He atoned for the sins of his people. It is finished. When this word echoed over Golgotha's height, the devils fled away tremblingly. With this they have received their greatest defeat. The Lord Jesus has been victorious, and the devil has been defeated forever. This day, the day of Christ's death, is commemorated each year. And this commemoration day is called Good Friday. Truly, this day is a Good Friday for all God's people, for on this day, the King of Israel merited eternal salvation for them. It is true, the Lord Jesus suffered every day of his life, but especially while on the cross. In paradise, God had said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve were disobedient to this divine command. They ate the fruit of this forbidden tree. Hence, death came into the world. Every person is a sinner before God, and every person must die. Every person is subject to the threefold death. It is the dreadful consequence of sin. The Lord Jesus was no sinner. He was without sin. Therefore, death had no claim over him. It was not necessary for the Lord Jesus to die for his sins, for he had none. But he was willing to die as surety and savior for his people. By his death, he took the sting out of death for his people. Whenever other people die upon the cross, their heads do not fall upon their chests until after they are dead. It was just the opposite with the Lord Jesus. He first bowed his head, and afterward he died. Hearken, once more he cries with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. With every person, death comes unrelentingly, which means we cannot keep it back. The question will not be asked, do you want to die, or can you die? Death takes away life. But the Lord Jesus gives his life. All other people must die, and most of them against their will. The Lord Jesus wanted to die. He voluntarily laid down his life. Do you understand this? I know it is difficult, but I had to tell you something of it.